Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a trick question. It's a question that was meant to trip Jesus up. This question was intended to give his enemies some traction against him, so that while Jesus is there in Jerusalem, they might finally be rid of all of that difficulty that he brings. It's a trick question, but Jesus doesn't fall for the trick. Today's conversation in Matthew's gospel comes on the heels of all of the parables that we have been listening to in recent weeks. The chief priests, the elders of the people, and some Pharisees had confronted Jesus about his authority to do things, and Jesus had responded with all of those parables. But now the chief priests and the elders have taken their leave, and a new group of Pharisees, along with some Herodians, arrive, and Matthew tells us that it is their intention to entrap Jesus. Now, the question that they ask Jesus isn't really about the separation of church and state. Rather, it is a way for the Pharisees to get Jesus to say something that will alienate him from one group or another. The actual question truly is, does it work within the Torah to pay this tax to the emperor? You see, there were some who believe that since all authority is derived by God, that paying the tax is an all right thing. But there were others who believed that paying the tax means that we are relying too much on human authority and not trusting in God, so we should never do it. So the Pharisees and the Herodians are trying to get Jesus to alienate either one of those groups, either the ones who pay the tax or the ones who don't like the tax. And then in an added bonus, depending on how Jesus answered the question, he might bring the wrath of Rome right down on him as well. This is a win-win-win kind of question. You see, this group of people, along with the chief priests, along with the elders, these Pharisees and many others, had already decided that Jesus should die. And what they're looking for are ways and excuses to make that happen. And so this question was actually a major ploy for them to try to bring Jesus down. Jesus does not play their game or take their bait. Jesus understands what they're up to. And for that, Jesus calls them hypocrites, people showing two faces. They come with compliments and sweet tones. Teacher, we know that you teach really well. And then they quietly and quickly stick in the knife. Jesus then asks them, show me the coin that you pay this tax with. Now, this is the Roman census tax that they're talking about. And it had to be paid with a Roman coin. And on that Roman coin was engraved the face of the emperor. Now, according to the Torah, even the first of their commandments, you shall have no graven image. Make no graven image. The mitzvot for the Pharisees themselves, where you were never supposed to be in the temple proper with a graven image. And yet somehow or another, someone reaches into their purse and there's the coin, with the emperor's face graved right on there. Once again, showing to the world their own hypocrisy. Jesus then asks them, whose image is on that coin? And they answer, it is the emperor's. And then this is when Jesus gives his answer. But it's an answer that gives the Pharisees and the Herodians no opportunity to come after Jesus. Because Jesus tells them, go ahead and give to the emperor the things that belong to the emperor. If it's his face and his title that give that coin its value and he wants some of them back, then give it back. But then Jesus ups the ante. And as Jesus ups the ante, he gives us all an answer that we can ponder and that we are called to live up to. After telling them to give the emperor what belongs to the emperors, Jesus then says, and give to God what belongs to God. Jesus knew that they were trying to trap him into answering a question that would alienate someone, and Jesus chose to answer that question in a way that will inspire us all. What is God's? Now, is that a statement or a question? My good Lutheran answer is yes, right? Because for me, it starts out as a question that will lead me and lead all of us to eventually make a statement in our lives and in our living. As we answer the question, what is God's? We come up with all sorts of things that will help us to make a statement in love. Jesus was hoping that the Pharisees, the Herodians, along with the crowds that were around him and his disciples, and even you and me, will begin pondering, what is God's? Now, as the Almighty Creator that we confess to week in and week out, all creation belongs to God. The earth and the air, the sea and the sky, plants and animals, microbes and insects, and every single human being. All these things are God's, belong to God. So is Jesus saying that what we really need to do is amp up the sacrificial system and give to God all of the animals and plants that belong to God? No, I don't think so. You see, when Jesus answered the Pharisees' question, he said, whose image is on the coin? So then let us continue that question now. Where is it that we find God's image? It's us. We humans were created in God's own image so that all that we have and all that we are belong to God. This is what Jesus is leading us to ponder. How can we give to God what belongs to God? Now, the Pharisees believed that that's exactly what they were doing as they followed their 613 rules they discovered in the Torah and called their mitzvot. They had read the Torah. They had discovered all of the things that God was trying to demand of them. And they were living their lives to sort of bring that glory to God, to hasten the coming of the Messiah, to help their neighbors do the same. But you see, that's where the problem arises. As the Pharisees make their lists and check them twice, they will also point fingers and accuse. They will cast out and shun all who fail to join their zealous piety. They forget the true commandments of God, which is love God and love your neighbor. And instead, they count steps and they measure tassels and they watch people wash their hands or eat, and then they judge who's in and who's out. For Jesus, giving to God what is God's is to discover ways to bring the message of forgiveness, life, and salvation that God pours down on us all. How do we bring that message to the people all around us? For Jesus, that message is for the good ones and the bad ones, the happy ones, the sad ones, the pious ones, the impious ones. God's love is meant to change lives. Not with washed hands or dishes, but with light and life, with love and care shared by all of us. God has changed our lives with grace. Jesus has lived a life that shows us how that grace can be shared, and we are called upon to give to God what is God's. As we wake up every morning, we are called to ask God to help us love our neighbors and to give the things back to God that are God's, to share the forgiveness, the life, and the salvation that are ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Pharisees had wanted to trick Jesus into making an answer that would alienate people. Jesus took that effort and used it to inspire God's people, to inspire God's people to ponder God's gifts, and then to share those gifts any way that we can. Jesus was attempting to show us what creation can be like when we all try to make God's dream a reality, and when we truly give to God what is God's. Amen.